I thank and praise God for giving me this opportunity to share the word with you. I've got many infirmities. My sound is bad. My pronunciation may be different. My accent may be different. And this is the first time I'm speaking in English in giving a word ministry. So kindly uphold me in your prayers. Now we'll go straight to the Word of God. Let us turn to a portion from the Old Testament, that is 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, we read verses 1 to 3. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child Josiah by name shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burnt on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. Now we should understand the background of this chapter. You know, after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. One, the southern kingdom known as Judah, with headquarters Jerusalem, ruled by Solomon's son Rehoboam, and the northern kingdom known as Israel, with the headquarters at Samaria, ruled by Jeroboam, who was a servant of Solomon. The reason for dividing this kingdom is, we can see in chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out and tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So this is the reason. And the Lord himself has selected Jeroboam, that we can see in the after these verses. Then we will read chapter 11, verses 37 onwards. The Lord is promising Jeroboam. Chapter 11, verse 37 onwards, we read like this. So I will take you, the Lord is saying, so I will take you, and you shall reign over all your desires, and you shall be the king of Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house. So the Lord is promising an enduring house for Jeroboam. The Lord has given a promise to him, but Jeroboam went on his own wisdom. We can see it in chapter 12, verse 26 onwards. When the kingdom was divided, Jerusalem fell in the southern portion. So Jeroboam is thinking, chapter 12, verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David, if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem. Then the heart of these people will turn back to their Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. So this is the background. ఇప్పుడు జెరోబయాం పుట్స్ టూ కాఫ్స్, వన్ అట్ బేథెల్, వన్ అట్ దాన్. దాన్ ఈస్ ది ఫర్దర్ నార్త్ ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది ల్యాండ్స్. సో దీస్ అబోమినేషన్స్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్. కింగ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ గివింగ్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్. సీ ఆఫ్టర్ ది వర్సెస్ 32 ఆన్వర్డ్స్ వీ కెన్ సీ కింగ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. సో హీ మేడ్ ఆఫరింగ్స్ ఆన్ ది ఆల్టర్ విచ్ హీ మేడ్ విచ్ హీ హ్యాడ్ మేడ్ ఎట్ బేథెల్ ఆన్ ది 15th డే ఆఫ్ ది 8th మంత్. హీ హాస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ డిసైడెడ్ డేట్స్ ఫర్ ది ఫెస్టివల్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఆఫరింగ్. సో హీ ఈస్ ఆఫరింగ్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ ఆన్ ది ఆల్టర్ విచ్ హీ హాస్ మేడ్ టు యెహోవా. హీ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ సేయింగ్ దిస్ ఈజ్ యెహోవా ద లార్డ్ హూ హాస్ బ్రాట్ యూ అండ్ ఈస్ వర్షిపింగ్. బట్ ద లార్డ్ సేస్ యు షాల్ నాట్ వర్షిప్ ద లార్డ్ యువర్ గాడ్ విత్ సచ్ థింగ్స్. అండ్ డ్యూట్రానమీ చాప్టర్ 12:4, యూ కెనాట్ వర్షిప్ గాడ్ ఇన్ అనదర్ వే ద లార్డ్ హస్ కమాండెడ్. యూ కెనాట్ పుట్ అ ఐడల్ హియర్ సేయింగ్ దట్ దిస్ ఈజ్ యెహోవా అండ్ యూ కెనాట్ వర్షిప్ ద లైక్ దట్. సో యూ షాల్ నాట్ వర్షిప్ ద లార్డ్ యువర్ గాడ్ ఇన్ సచ్ వేస్. సో హియర్ జెరోబయాం వెంట్ ఆన్ హిస్ ఓన్ వే. హీ ట్రస్టెడ్ హిస్ ఓన్ ఎబిలిటీస్. వాట్ వి రీడ్ ఇన్ ఇన్ ప్రోవర్బ్స్ చాప్టర్ 3:5, యూ షుడ్ నాట్ ట్రస్ట్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. పుట్ యువర్ ట్రస్ట్ ఇన్ ద లార్డ్. బట్ జెరోబయాం హీ పుట్ హిస్ ట్రస్ట్ ఆన్ హిస్ ఓన్ ఎబిలిటీస్ అండ్ హిస్ ఓన్ వేస్, హిస్ ఓన్ క్రూక్డ్ వేస్. He wanted to stabilize his kingdom. Now think about ourselves. Are we trusting the Lord with all our hearts, in all our ways? Many a time we have trusted on our own plans, our own ability, our own methods. May the Lord help us to put our complete trust on Him. So here, Jeroboam is offering sacrifices, and one person from, one man of God came from Judah. Judah is the southern kingdom. There one person is coming to Bethel and giving a message. Lord has given him a message. Lord commanded him to go to Bethel. Bethel is about 20-25 kilometers away. He has to deliver this message. And it is a risky business. We can see this by reading further portions. We can see that that was a risky thing to do that, because Jeroboam may kill him. But he has to deliver the message. So here also, let us think about ourselves. If the Lord has given you a message to deliver at a place or here, if the Lord is giving a message to you, you have to deliver it. You should not see faces. You should not think that this will irritate him or irritate her. This will irritate the such and such elder. But if the Lord has given you a message, you have to deliver it. In this chapter, if you go down, we can see there was another old prophet was there. Verse 11 in this chapter, in chapter 13, verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. There was already an old prophet there in Bethel. He was old, he was experienced, but the Lord is not choosing him. Lord found him unsuitable for this mission. Why? That we can see later. But in any case, he was unsuitable for to deliver this message. So when we consider ourselves, if you are an elder, or if you are an evangelist or a deacon somewhere, Lord is finding you unsuitable to give you a message, and it's how sad it is. One person has to come from a long distance away, far away from the north, southern kingdom, to deliver this message. Already one old prophet was there. He was experienced, he was old, but the Lord did not choose him. Let us consider ourselves, let us think about ourselves. Is the Lord choosing you to give a message, or should He bring somebody else from some other place? Anyway, the message is given in verses 2 and 3. The message is given, and One miracle also happened, that the altar was split and the ashes was poured out. Then we can, if you read verses 4 to 6, so it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying that the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, then he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of your Lord your God and pray for me, that the hand may be, my hand may be restored. So the reaction of Jeroboam, the king, immediately he stretched out his hand, arrest him, seize him, catch him. His idea was to arrest him and kill him. But the Lord intervened. The hand which was raised, he remained there. He could not bring it back. He was in great pain. It is mentioned that it is shriveled, it is dried up. But the Lord intervened. But the Lord may not intervene in every time. In the case of James, in the Acts of the Apostles, we see James was killed by Herod. The Lord did not intervene. But in the case of Peter, the Lord intervened. Peter was saved. You know the case of three boys in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were not prepared to worship the idol made by the king. And they were about to be put in the furnace. Then what they are saying, we know that our Lord is capable of delivering us. But in case he is not delivering us, even then we are not going to worship your idol. So the Lord may not interfere everywhere. Sometimes the Lord may interfere, sometimes the Lord may not interfere. You cannot ask God to interfere every time. So in our case also, when we are in trouble, when we are in great problem, the Lord may interfere. The Lord has got powers, but he may interfere or he may not interfere. So we cannot compel God, we cannot ask God, why you are not interfering, why you are not saving us. We cannot interfere. We should, our attitude should be of that of the three boys in Babylon. Then here we see the king requested the man of God to intercede with the Lord or pray for him so that his hand is restored. So we should remember here one thing, that in Romans chapter 13 verse 1, that there is no authority except that which God has established. Here Jeroboam was a wicked king, but he was enthroned, or he was given authority by the Lord himself. In Daniel chapter 4 verse 17, we read, the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them even the lowliest of people. The Lord may even give authority to the lowliest of people. That is why we see there are so many rogue rulers and rogue governments and rogue nations. We may think, why the Lord is allowing such people to rule? Why the Lord is permitting them to rule? Many rogue leaders were there. Hitler, or even in North Korea also we see. But we cannot ask God. He is in authority. He is the controlling all the kingdoms of the earth. He is giving authority to even the lowliest of the people. Even the worst of people, he is giving authority. Here we see Jeroboam's prayer, we can see here. Jeroboam's prayer to the man of God, you entreat for him, entreat for me, so that my hand may be restored. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. So the Jeroboam's prayer we see here is a prayer without any remorse or any repentance. The prayer is just to get benefits. In our case also, sometimes we pray just to get benefits. When we are very badly sick or in any other great problem, we pray to God, 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 help me, help me, without any remorse, without any repentance. And when you get the benefit, then we forget everything. So that should not be the case. We should be thankful to the Lord. When we pray to the Lord, we should be, it should be from our heart. Then another thing, we see the intercession of the man of God. The man of God immediately prayed. We see in verse 6, the man of God entreated. He did not think that God may not hear my prayer because this is a wicked king. He did not think anything like that. He just prayed for his enemy. King Jeroboam was for his enemy. Even then he prayed, and the Lord heard the prayer and given relief. So he didn't have any doubt in his mind that the Lord may not hear his prayer. And we further go down the chapter, the king said, verse 7, the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. So the king is offering some gifts and a meal. King is telling him, you come to my house, come to my palace, I will give you gifts and you can have some meal. And then go. The man of God rightly refuses the gifts, but he reveals everything that the Lord has told him for his personal benefit. Verse 9, the Lord said, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. This sentence, he need not have revealed, isn't it? What is the necessity of telling these things to the king? He could have simply said, oh, thank you very much. I don't want any food. I don't want any reward. You give the reward to somebody else. Just thank you very much. I am leaving. Yes, he could have gone. But he revealed all these things to the king and the people there. And it resulted in his death. We can see later. He disclosed unnecessary things. So one thing here we can learn and we can remember, you don't have to reveal everything related to yourself into the public. Nowadays we see in Facebook people disclose everything. They ate something, immediately put in the Facebook. They went somewhere, they put it in the Facebook. You need not reveal everything about yourself in public. Especially if the Lord has given you told you something, just like this man. The Lord has told him not to eat bread, nor drink water, and not return by the same way. But he could have just obeyed it, but he disclosed it, and it resulted in his death. We can see later. In contrast to these some people, they do not reveal anything at all. Even if they are sick, they will not tell the assembly to pray for them. They will not reveal it to anybody. When they are very sick, then only they will tell, kindly pray for us. That is also not correct, I think. We can see another example in the Kings also. 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was sick, and he was at that time, the Babylonian king, he has sent some people with some gifts and some get well cards or something like that to see the king. They came and we read that King Hezekiah showed them all his treasures. gold, silver, everything was shown to them, and they went away. Then afterwards, Isaiah the prophet came. Isaiah asked him, "Who are these people just visited you?" He said, "They are from a faraway country, Babylon." Isaiah said, "What all things you told they have seen in the palace?" Then king said, "Everything I have shown him, shown them, all our treasures I have shown them." King told Isaiah. Isaiah said, "Everything what you have shown, it will be all taken away to Babylon." And it happened like that. So, in the two cases we have learned that everything the Lord reveals us, whatever is necessary can be disclosed, whatever is not necessary you need not disclose. Here two miracles happened. One is the altar was split and his ashes poured out, and King Jeroboam's hand, which was shriveled, which was dried up, it was set right. There's two miracles, but Jeroboam did not repent. Even after seeing these two miracles, one happened on his own body, but he did not repent. So we can learn from here that miracles do not produce faith. In the Lord's time also, people have seen many miracles. Even dead people were raised. Even then they did not believe. We read in Mark chapter 8 or in Matthew chapter 12, Pharisees are coming to them and asking Jesus to show some sign in the sky. All these miracles they have seen, that was not enough. Show some sign in the sky. Lord says they will not get any sign. The only sign is that sign of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. Likewise, Son of God, Son of Man will also be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So now we also may think that if there is a big sign in the sky, suppose there is a big sign there, a man standing there with pierced hands, with pierced legs, with a crown of thorns in his head, we may think that people will believe. In the Regina sky, is Saskatchewan, the land of living skies, isn't it? But now there is no living sky, there is no cloud, anything there. When I came here in May, it was a living sky. So suppose there is a big sign in the sky, do you think people will believe? Even then people will not believe. Miracles do not produce faith. That is what I have to understand. Then verses chapter 11, verse 11 onwards, you see, now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. So we need not read everything. His sons came and told him all that happened in the temple, everything, and then all the story was repeated to him. Then he said, "Saddle the donkey for me." He is immediately going after the man of God. So remember here, the old prophet is already there. He himself could have told the king that whatever he is doing is not correct, it is abomination, it is blasphemy. But he did not do that, probably fearing for his life. That was the reason for the Lord for not sending this man of God, this old prophet, to for this mission. That was the reason for the Lord for selecting the man of God from Judah, because this man is there, he is an old man, he is an experienced man, but he is not acting. He himself should have told the king when he is offering sacrifices to the idol there, he should have told him, but he did not do it. So when he came to know the developments in the temple, he became very annoyed. So why he became annoyed? He is thinking something like this. I am here in Bethel as a prophet for a long time. The Lord should have told me. I should have done it in a better manner. Or at least if the Lord wants to send somebody else, he could have come to me and we would have gone together. why the Lord is not telling me? Now, Lord, I will prove to you that this man is not trustworthy as you think. That is what he is thinking in his heart. This man whom you have selected is not trustworthy. I will prove it to you. He immediately made a plan and he is going after the man of God with the malicious intentions. And he found him. He found him in a, by near an oak tree, it is mentioned here. So this type of attitude we can see in churches also, spiritual jealousy. When another brother is coming up spiritually, you may feel jealous. You may want to pull him down. You may want to refuse him opportunities. Here it may not be there, but in our side, this happens many times. In assemblies, there are only old people are there. Youngsters are not coming. They are going elsewhere. They are not giving, they are not being given opportunities. Even the old brother, he is very old. Even then, shivering with shivering hands, he will break the bread and give it to others. He will not give the opportunity to the younger man there. So that should not be there. When a person is coming up spiritually, the elders should encourage him. Encouraging them to come up, take responsibilities. So this man, the old man, went after the young fellow and he found him sitting under an oak tree. Naturally, the man was tired, had eaten eat and drink for some time. So he was tired. So he is asking, are you the man of God who came from Judah? Man said, yes, I am. Come home with me and eat bread. Immediately he is saying, come home with me and eat bread. He is not asking, he is not telling them why, how the Lord has told you, was it a vision or was it a dream, how the Lord spoken to you. Nothing like that. He immediately tells him, come home and eat bread. He wanted to trap him. Then the man of God says, I cannot come with you and eat bread or drink water because the Lord has commanded me. Then this old man saying, I too am a prophet, verse 18. I too am a prophet as you are. An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. So he is telling a big lie. Invoking the word of the Lord, invoking the name of the Lord. He is telling a big lie. Our Lord knew that. That is why he did not select him for this job. He is telling a big lie. He wanted to prove to God that this person he has selected instead of me is not a great person. I will show it to you that he will disobey your command easily. He is tempting that person to sin. So we should not be like that. We should not tempt or prompt anybody to sin. Lord Jesus said, Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So how seriously the Lord is taking this this attitude. If you cause another man to sin, a little one here means not little children, is a young believer. A believer recently came to the Lord. So if you cause another man, another brother or sister to sin, it would be a great sin. We should not be a cause for sin to others. We should not be a cause for others to sin in our words, in our deeds, in our dress, in everything. Especially ladies or women folks should be careful about this, about dress, whether they are provoking others to sin. Because the Lord is using strong words about it. About dress, Apostle Paul says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly clothing. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest my brother stumbles. So that was the attitude of Apostle Paul. So this man went after the old prophet and ate bread and drank water. So he is going after that man like an ox being led to a slaughterhouse. How sad it is. The Lord told him something, but somebody else said in the name of the Lord exactly the opposite. He believes it. Lord specifically told him something that is there. Another man comes and says, the Lord told me exactly the opposite, and he believes it. He is such a simple man. Such a people are called simple ones in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Three types of people. One is simple ones. Simple ones is like this man. He can be easily influenced. A good talker can influence him. If you tell him something, he will believe. If another man tells him a different thing with a good language, he is a good talker, so he will believe that also. So he is a simple man. This man is a simple man. And the second group is scorners or mockers. Mockers are another group. That is, they are mocking everything. Everything spiritually told, if you tell him, he will mock you. If you tell him that if you don't believe the Lord, you will go to hell, then those people will say, oh, there is no problem. All my friends will be there. We will have fun there. So such type of attitude will be there. That is a mockers. Then third group is fools. Fool saith in his heart that there is no God. So he refuses everything and he is a fool. So these three types of people, here this man is a simple man. He believed the other man which was told in the name of the Lord. So he believed it. So we can have a lesson from here. If somebody says that he had a vision from God, and if it is against the written word of God, don't accept it. People will say that I have direct revelation from God, such and such, and it is against this written word of God, you cannot accept it. Now, time is already over, so I am stopping. Another one or two points only. We can see the death of the prophet, and this prophet from Judah, in verses 23 to 25. After eating, he was returning. One lion killed him, and the donkey is standing there, and the lion is also standing there without eating, without devouring these dead bodies. And he was killed. So what a sad end of this prophet. He could have been used by the Lord for many such missions, but he is dead. He came to Bethel without any fear. He obeyed the command of the Lord and came. But he was a simple man. He believed a great lie, which was told in the name of the Lord. So he believed it, and he is dead now. In our case also, we may think that here this man thought this eating bread and drinking water, a very simple thing, is a normal thing. Everybody does it. So there is no problem, says. Even small matters in the word of the Lord we have to obey. In Psalm 119 verse 4, it is like this. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Another version, NKJV, is, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. So even we cannot omit anything, saying that it is a small matter. Normally we are searching for excuses for not obeying the word of God. Even to not to obey, we will find some excuse or other. One preacher was preaching, and after the meeting there was a man hanging around there. The preacher had a conversation with him. Preacher asked him, are you a believer? Have you accepted the Lord? He said, yes, yes, I am a believer. Then he asked, which assembly you are going to worship? The man said, no, I am not going to any assembly. Then he asked, have you been baptized? Have you obeyed the Lord in what is a baptism? The man said, no, I didn't obey the Lord in baptism. I find no need of that, because the thief on the cross, he did not obey the Lord in baptism. He did not be baptized. Then the man asked, are you giving a portion of your income to the Lord? Then again that man said, no, that is not necessary. The man on the cross, the thief on the cross, did not do that. Then the preacher said, I see only one difference between you and the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross is a dead thief, but you are a living thief, he said. So we are all finding excuses for not to obey God's commandments. So, time is over, we are closing. So, this man of God, the old man, he had spiritual jealousy. And the other man got the opportunity to preach, he was jealous. He wanted to tell even the Lord that this man is not proper, your selection is not proper, your selection is not correct. And then the last we see another miracle, that the dead body is lying there, the lion is standing there, the donkey is also there, the lion is not eating this man or the donkey, people are going. That is another miracle. Three miracles happened. Even then, Jeroboam did not repent. Jeroboam has got three warnings, you can see. First, the altar was split. Second, his hand withered and it was restored. Third, the dead body of the man, a lion standing there and the donkey standing there. Lion is not eating the donkey, nor the man. Even then, even after three warnings, Jeroboam did not repent. So, Lord does not give any punishment without giving a warning. In our lives also, Lord may give warnings. At that time, we should understand. We should come back. Jeroboam did not do it. And so, later on we see that even his family was destroyed and annihilated from the face of the earth. That is what is mentioned. Removed from the face of the earth. Destruction of the Jeroboam's family, you see. May the Lord help us to study the word properly. And whatever is there, it is for our reproof, for our benefit. In the coming days, let us live a life more suitable to the word of God, more obeying to our Lord. Let us have a mind of obedience to the word of God. May the Lord help us. May the name of the Lord be glorified.